Hey everyone, this is Isaac Maddox, and I'm the pastor of Activate Church, and this is our podcast. Remember, you can subscribe to our podcast and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. I hope this message blesses you, encourages you, builds your faith, and I hope you enjoy the message.
Yeah. Wow. It's so good. It was funny because, that music. It was funny because Robert films video announcements, and he didn't know that I was preaching today. So I was just telling him, like, it's me. Because he was like, are you going to announce the speaker? Like, what are you doing? I'm like, no, it's me. And then you could hear his laugh in the background, like, blah. Oh, it's good. I'm so, so excited. Man, we got a full room. You guys are the VIP today. You came to church. You made it. Give yourselves a hand, right? You deserve it. Do it. Do it. Don't do it because you feel like you deserve it. Do it because I'm telling you to do it. No. I'm excited to be here today. I'm excited to switch youth to Sunday nights. We've been like, I feel like it's, you know, half of the people are really excited about it. Half of the other people I've had to really convince that this is a good idea. But we're stepping out in faith. I am thinking about all of those kids who can't be with us on Wednesday, you know, during the week, or families that just cannot get here. We're going to have it on Sundays at 5 p.m. So everybody who does sports, there are some kids who do sports year-round. And I don't see them for like a year. And I'm like, all right, how do we solve this? Anyways, they're really excited about being able to be here with us. So I'm really pumped about that. How many of you guys were here for our Christmas services last week? All right, cool. How many people were here for first service? Yeah. Do you guys remember the bubble debacle? Okay. So I have just a little confession. Johnny took the rap for that, and he and Isaac was like, oh, yeah, you know, you're fired and blah, 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 blah. And it was your butt that sat on the thing. It was my butt. It was me. And I let Johnny take the rap for it. I was so embarrassed. I was looking at Carrie like, can you believe this guy? Like, what did he? And he just sat on that thing. Like, get it together, Johnny. My goodness. Oh, yeah, actually, I didn't know if it was going to get turned off. I was like, it was going for a really long time. And I was like, I just ruined this whole Sunday. Like, I just ruined everything. And even afterwards, there was like little bubbles in the room. Like, Isaac was like, swatting the bubbles out of the way. But anyways, thank you, Johnny. Give Johnny a hand. He's so amazing. Johnny was like just taking one for the team. And I was like, he's a real friend. Everybody needs a Johnny in their lives, I feel like. So good. All right. Well, my friends got me an iPad for my birthday. And so this is the first time that I get to, you know who you are. There's people in this room who pitched in to make this happen. And typically I have like this massive laptop up here and I feel like I'm in the Stone Age. So I feel kind of cool. I'm like, oh, I feel like, you know, Halla, you know, she does the iPad thing. And I'm like, that's the level I'm on today. So anyways, I'm excited to preach. I'm going to be going into 1 Samuel. So if you have your Bibles, you can get there. 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. And basically, what's going on in this story is Hannah, there's a woman named Hannah, and she really, really wants a son. She is barren, and she has been just in this place of just wanting children. She doesn't have any children, but her husband's other wife has a whole bunch of kids. So she's just like flaunting all her kids in Hannah's face. So Hannah is so sad and so upset, and it says that she just cries and cries, and she's probably praying over this or whatever. But Elkanah doesn't understand. That's her husband, okay, all these names. Peninnah is her husband's other wife, okay? So all that being said, we're going to pick up in verse 7. Verse 7, it says this. Year after year, it was the same. Peninnah would taunt Hannah as they went to the tabernacle. Each time, Hannah would be reduced to tears and would not even eat. Why are you crying, Hannah? Elkanah would ask. Why aren't you eating? Why be downhearted just because you have no children? You have me. Isn't that better than having 10 sons? I'm sorry. Like, it just gives me a sense into some of the, like, agony and contention that she's feeling. Like, your husband clearly doesn't get it. But anyways, verse 9. Once after a sacrificial meal at Shiloh, Hannah got up and went to pray. Eli the priest was sitting at his customary place beside the entrance of the tabernacle. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. And she made this vow: O Lord of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime. And as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut, right? He'll be a Nazirite. And as she was praying to the Lord, Eli watched her, seeing her lips moving but hearing no sound. He thought she had been drinking. Must you come here drunk? This girl, she's just not catching a break, is she? Must you come here drunk? He demanded. Throw away your wine. Oh, no, sir, she replied. I haven't been drinking wine or anything stronger, but I am very discouraged. I just want you guys to pay attention to the language that she's using. I'm very discouraged, and I was pouring out my heart to the Lord. Don't think I'm a wicked woman, for I have been praying out of great anguish and sorrow. In that case, Eli said, go in peace. May the God of Israel grant the request you have asked of him. Oh, thank you, sir, she exclaimed. Then she went back and began to eat again, and she was no longer sad. The entire family got up early the next morning and went to worship the Lord once more. Then they returned home to Ramah. And Elkanah slept with Hannah, the Lord remembered her plea. And in due time, she gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, for she said, I asked the Lord for him. I just love that. I asked the Lord for him. So good. My title today is From Bitterness to Breakthrough. From Bitterness to Breakthrough. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Jesus, we thank you for being in the room. Father, we thank you that your mercies are new every morning. Jesus, we thank you for what you did for us on the cross. We thank you that our shame is done away with. We thank you, Lord God, that you're always speaking new things over us. We thank you, Lord God, that all of the old things have passed away and that we get to look forward toward the new thing that you have for us. God, I pray that we would receive the word that you are speaking. Father, I thank you that you're speaking a word directly to every person, that you have something for us today. Lord God, I pray that we would see what it is, that we would hear what it is, that we would receive what it is. Lord, I just pray against anything that would just keep us from receiving what you have for us. Lord God, whether we think we don't deserve it or whether we think, I don't know if he really speaks that way anymore, or I don't know if he has high hopes for me, I don't know if I can actually do the thing I feel like he's putting on my heart. Lord God, I thank you that we are going to see the word. We're going to receive it by faith. We're going to hear from you today, and we are going to have hope and a word to stand on for the upcoming year. Jesus, we thank you that when you show up on the scene, everything changes. Everything changes. You renew everything, and you speak a better word over us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, like many of you guys know, I've got a few kids. I've got four kids. I feel it's funny because all of the youth are like, yeah, we know. I feel like I start every message with like, I got a bunch of kids. And they're like, I'm like Penina. You know what I mean? I'm like, I've got a whole bunch of kids and you don't have any kids. No, I've got some kids. And my oldest daughter, who's sitting over here somewhere, Riley, wave your hand, Riley. This is fun. I get to do this. I'm up here. Wave your hand, Riley. Anyways, that's my 10-year-old. I'm going to rag on her just a little bit today, but I warned her about it, so don't worry. She came with the cry of a banshee. Like she came and she was like, you know, and it's a good thing, right? Like for the most part, right? All the nurses are like, they get relieved when a baby starts crying. Like it's a good thing, right? If babies don't cry, they start like hitting the baby to get them to cry. They didn't have to hit Riley. She came out like she took it as a challenge. She's like, I want everyone to know that I'm here. Like, I need this whole hospital to know what just happened. Like, Jesus came more humble. She came like she was like, I showed up on the scene. I'm going to need all of you guys to know about it. I'm loud. I'm proud. My name's Riley. Here I am. Like, it was a big deal. And, you know, at first, we were really proud. We were like, wow, they were like, she's so strong, you know? Like, she's got these lungs, and she was, like, lifting her head up. And I'm like, dude, are they supposed to do that yet? Like, wow, she's like, you know, so we were so proud until, like, I don't know, like 3 hours later. And I was like, all right, so when is she going to stop, though? Like, when is she going to stop crying? Like, she's so loud. And she hit decibels that I didn't even know existed. Like, she came out. She was just so loud, and she didn't stop. And I was just like, okay. And all of my friends would ask me, like, yeah, so how's it? You know, we brought her home. It's like, man, you know, so how's it going? And I was like, to be honest, I don't think she likes me very much. Like, I don't think... I feel like she's like, you're fired. And I just kept showing up for work. Like, please accept me, receive me. And she's like, you suck at this. And I'm like, oh, I thought I was going to be good at parenting. Like, I worked at a daycare before you. Like, I know what I'm doing. It's you. It's not me. You know, but like, she just wouldn't stop crying. And I feel like her whole first year was just me and Corey trying to figure out how to make her stop crying. How to make her stop, I mean, hours and hours of not just a little bit of a cry. It was so loud. She was screaming and belting for hours and hours. And everybody, I was like, I have no sleep, no shower. I mean, every first time mom is like, yeah, we get that. Like, it's just like you're running on nothing. You don't get a moment to shower. It's like Corey had to sleep in the other room for the whole first year. I'm not kidding you guys. It was like DEFCON 1. Like, it was like so, it was crazy. And so, like, so, you know, we would just try to do all these things to try to get her to stop, right? So I'm taking notes from everybody. And I am so like, whatever you got, I'll take it, you know? Because I've tried everything. And so people are like, oh, just take her on a car ride. I'm okay, okay. So I'm like, we would take her on a car ride. And I think that, I don't know if it was the car seat or what, but it would make her cry worse. Like, she would start to, like, hyperventilate. And so then Corey would try to, like, hit the brakes to try to, like, create a rocking motion in the car. And so I was sitting in the back seat because I couldn't sit in the front seat, right? So I'm sitting next to her trying to, she wouldn't take a bottle. She wouldn't take a Binky. He's doing this, and the whole vehicle is doing this. And I'm trying to lean over the seat to, like, nurse her, you know, because she won't take anything. And there's cars driving by. I'm like, I feel like the circus just pulled into town. You know, like, what just happened here? And I'm like, just, we got this. You know, we're gonna, so I'm calling, I'm like, mom, listen, like, I don't know, I mean, I know that you didn't deal with this because I was an angel as a child, and she told me so. She was like, you didn't have a personality till you were like 7. You were like a potato, and you know, just like whatever. And Corey, you know how you try to figure out like who to blame, you know, for your kid? I was like, it's you, it's got to be you. It has to be you. It's not me. My mom said I was a good baby. She prayed that I'd be a good baby, and I was a good baby. And Corey's like, well, I still barely talk, so surely you can't blame me for this. Like, I don't make any noise ever. It's like, it has to be you. And then we start blaming. I'm like, well, maybe it's your sister. Maybe it's your sister. Maybe it's your uncle on your dad's side. It's got to be coming from your genes, you know? So I'm talking to my mom. I'm like, mom, what do I do? I mean, I know you didn't have to deal with this, right? Because I was an angel, but what about grandma? Like, what, grandma had like 75 kids. What'd she do? You know, there must have been like a bad apple. So she's like, oh, you know, do this, try this. I'm like, mom, I tried that. I tried, don't talk to me about the car thing. Like, that was a, like, did you put her on top of the washer? I'm like, is that, I don't know. And then she was like, well, what about whiskey? And I was like, I don't, for the baby or for us? Like, I don't know if there's a good ending to this. I'm like, okay, grandma, all right. I'm like, what do? Do I bathe her in it? Like, do I just, it's like, oh, for us? We're just, I don't know if we're ready to give up on that level. You know what? We're done. Throw in the towel. Just, you know, knock a few back and just accept. We're just start to cope, you know? And I'm like, all right. I mean, one, that explains a lot about grandma. But two, I don't know. What about essential oils? You know what I mean? What about something more mild? Like, what about lavender? I don't know. But we basically tried everything. And the thing about Riley, I just love her so much. Her cry is just different, right? It's like, even now, like, when she's upset, we all know. There's no mistaking. You know, I think about little Ella, and when she cries, it's kind of precious, you know, like when she cries, it's so, it's like, oh, it's, that's so cute, like that's your cry, you know what I mean? It's kind of, like, and she'll go, and I'm like, oh, but then when Riley cries, it's just, she has a certain type of cry that's like full of emotion, full of desperation. I mean, it could be the littlest thing, but it's like, I mean, it'll get you moving. She has a cry that demands response right now. Like, if you don't respond to me now, like, you will hear me and you will respond to me. If she's annoying me, you're going to know about it. Like, we all know when Riley's upset, right? And so she has a cry that's just, it's just different, right? Bless God. You're amazing, baby. It's just different. And I love this story of Hannah because I feel like she got to the place where her cry just got different. It just got different. It says that she went to the temple every year, and every year it was the same. She would cry about this same thing every year. Do you ever feel like you're like, I already cried about it? I already prayed about it? I already have experienced a low on this? Hannah's like, I've already been through it all, and it just keeps on coming. I mean, like, Penina is taunting her. The word says that she's being taunted by her rival, right? So she wants children so bad. And the thing about it is, too, when you think about, you know, back then, being barren was kind of like having a black mark, right? It's like you can read through scripture and see that God would close women's wombs for doing things that are wrong, right? So Hannah probably even already has like a reputation of, well, you're not favored, you're sinful. Right? You're probably cursed by the Lord. Penina says, because the Lord closed her womb. Right? So it's like she already feels like, what's wrong with me? Why did God close my womb? Right? It's like, did I really do anything that bad? So she's over here feeling cursed, feeling looked over by the Lord. Right? And then there's Penina, who's super blessed. Right? And she flaunts it in front of her face, and she feels like she has the right to as well, because she's like, I'm favored. God's chosen me. He hasn't chosen you. He's making you go through it because you did something wrong, clearly, but I'm super blessed. And so she would just get all of this. And isn't that the thing? You know, I want to feel like when you see somebody else get blessed and it's something you've been really wanting and it's something that you've been crying for and it's something that you've asked the Lord for, and then you see somebody else get blessed with it, it feels a little painful, right? And you're like, I want to be happy for that person. I want to. Somebody gets a prophetic word, right, about the thing you've been asking for, and you're like, amen for you, sister. Like, you know, it's like, but you've been praying about it, right? And then somebody else gets, and you're just like, okay, I feel a little deliberately looked over by the Lord. Like, if you're going to, like, deliver, I mean, you had to jump over me to get to her. You know what I mean? It's like, my prayers have been here in your face, and then you had to kind of jump over me or dodge me in order to bless this other person. You feel a little taunted by it, right? And it's like, as happy as you want to be for somebody, when your heart is aching for something and you see somebody else with it. You know, I've heard even friends of mine who don't have babies. And I feel like a jerk because I'm on my four, you know what I mean? I'm just having a whole, but I feel like Penina, like I'm having all these babies. And then I'm with friends of mine who have been praying for a baby, and I almost want to just, I'm sorry, like, you know, but it's just, it's real. And you want, it's like, I've been around friends who were praying. I'm praying with you. Like, I want you. But then there is kind of this thing where they'll attend your baby shower, and it's just like, God, my heart breaks. Your heart is breaking. You feel cursed, right? But you want to be happy, but it just gets weird, and there's a little bit of a tension there, you know? And so it's like, you think about all that she's been through and her fantastic husband. I mean, I just, you want to know what makes me matter? Like, if I'm in a, you know, a decent mood or whatever, or maybe I do get upset about something, when Corey acts like he doesn't understand why, I'm like, listen, like, if I was a little bit mad before, now I'm super mad. Like, don't be like, why are you mad? You're just like having emotions. Like, no, she was mad. She was upset for such a valid reason, right? And her husband didn't understand. Sometimes people are not going to understand, right? There's going to be people that love you. People in your life who love you, and they will not understand or know what to do with your grief. They're not going to know what to do with it. And that hurts even worse, because you're like, all I want is for anybody to understand. all I want is for anybody to empathize with what I'm going through. Don't look at me like I'm crazy. That's making it worse. You know what I mean? When I go to you, I'm going to need you to say, yes, uh-huh, I totally get it. You are in the right. You know what I mean? Like, I'll just, for the record, just anybody in this room, if I ever come to you and I'm upset, just be like, I know, that sucks. And I will be better tomorrow. But I don't, you know what I mean? It's like you're looking for somebody to just understand what you're going to, so one step, but there's going to be people in your life who don't know what to do with that level of grief. And can I tell you something? They're not meant to. They're not supposed to. Only God understands, and only He knows what to do with the deepest parts of who you are. Only God knows how to handle the emotions that you have and the desperation and the disappointments that you face, right? You might even be feeling disappointed in God. Like, you're like, God, where are you? Seriously, it feels like you are deliberately looking me over. It feels like you're deliberately looking at other people. When is my season going to come? When is my prayer going to be answered? What else do I have to do in order to get you to hear me? I know, I've been in seasons. This past season was a really tough one for us. I went through a lot of health stuff. And I remember, man, I remember being before the Lord, and I was like, I had my Bible in my hand, and everybody was gone, and that's my favorite time to pray, because I can just get crazy, and I can make a scene, and nobody's going to think anything. I won't freak my kids out. But I remember I was praying, and I was just full of just desperation. God, if you don't come through, I literally have nothing. Like, I have zero options. I have nothing to fall back on, right? I'm like, I need you to come through right now, right? And I remember I was holding my word, and I'm like, you said that I can ask you for anything in your name, and it'll be done. I said, you said it. You said it. I didn't. I'm talking to the Lord. I'm like, you said it. I didn't. I didn't come up with this. You said it. I said, be true to your word. Be true to your word, God. And I'm desperate. And I'm praying things. I don't even know if it's appropriate. I'm like, is this irreverent? I don't even know. But all I know is that I need to get my heart before the Lord. If nothing else, I need to pour out my heart before God and tell Him how I really feel. And I'm like, God, I need you to prove to me that this is real. Right now, I need you to show up, and I need you to show me that when you said it, you meant it. And there was a different kind of a prayer that came over me, and I was like, God, you need to come through for me. I need you to show me that your word is true. And I think that sometimes we just don't feel like we can pray that way. You know what I mean? We don't feel like we have permission to pray that way. We don't feel like we have, you know, it's like that it's okay. Like maybe it's irreverent, but I'll tell you what, Hannah got to the place where she was like, I'm in deep anguish. I'm bitter. She was bitter, which meant she was angry. She was angry at God. She was angry at Elkanah. She was angry at Penina. She was angry and she was bitter. And she's even resentful, right? And she's getting to the deepest part of her emotions. And she's like, I've got to get this before the Lord. I have to get this before God. And she started praying in a way that was just so desperate. Can I tell you something? Desperate prayers are powerful prayers. Desperate prayers are breakthrough prayers. Desperate prayers will get you through something to the other side. When you get desperate on that level, when you know you have nothing to turn back to, when you get so desperate before the Lord and you're like, I don't even want to do anything else. I need you to come through for me. Those are the moments when shifts begin to happen. When you start to realize I just accessed something in the supernatural that I didn't even know was possible. And you'll get to the place where you get before God and you're praying on another level and you will feel something shift. And you'll know that you just moved heaven. heaven. You'll know that you just did. And I feel like there's some people in this room that are like, I want to get to the place where I know I moved heaven. I want to get to the place where when I pray, I don't feel like nothing happens. I want to get to the place where when I pray, I feel like something just shifted, that I actually did something worth doing, that I'm not just sitting there praying like this patty cake bedside prayer. Nothing against bedside prayers. I pray bedside with my kids every single night, right? But there's something to a desperate prayer. That's what I came to tell you. There's something to a desperate prayer. And I feel like, you know, I feel like we try to avoid desperation like the plague, don't we? We don't like being needy. We don't like being desperate. I sure don't like to be in pain. I don't like that. I don't like to be angry. I like to be happy. And if anything, you know, like anybody in my life who's like messing up my flow, I remember for the first few years of marriage, like me and Corey were such like polar opposites, right? And I felt like I was like overly like, everything's good, everything's good, everything's good. And he's like, you're tripping. Like, this sucks, you know? And I'm like, you're just a downer. You need to go before the Lord, you know? And he's like, no, I'm being real. This is terrible, you know? And I'm like, you're messing up my mood and my mojo, you know? But like, I feel like I used to just dodge, and the Lord's totally dealt with me on this, and Corey's helped. But I feel like, you know, you're a realist. No, I'm kidding. But like, you know, I've actually come to the place where I'm just much more comfortable with the emotions that come. You know what I mean? Like when I feel mad, I'm like, okay, that sucks, but what is that trying to tell me? Right? Because your emotions have a function. You're not just feeling stuff for no reason. Gosh, wouldn't that be torture? The Lord's just like, good luck with all those emotions, you know? But it's like, no, when you feel emotions, when you feel sadness, when you feel anger, when you feel resentment, when you feel lack, when you feel whatever it is, they are meant to bring you to the Lord and figure out, okay, what's causing that? What's in me? You know, sometimes they say that when you feel anger, there's an injustice that you're feeling. It's attached to something just happened, right? If you're feeling sad, it's like maybe there's a lack, or you feel looked over, or there's disappointment. Whatever it is, your lack is meant and designed by the Lord to bring you to him. I think that sometimes we just want to, you know, numb ourselves a little bit rather than allowing that thing to get us before the Lord. We're like, I just don't even want to face it. I would much rather numb that. I would much rather just not feel that. I would much rather just get comfortable. And we become so much more concerned with our comfort than our wellness and our breakthrough and our ultimate healing, right? We want comfort more than wellness. We want comfort more than breakthrough. And so then we just start to numb ourselves. And it's like, whatever it is, you know, it's like, oh, you watch a show, you know, or a Netflix, right? Or you drink whiskey. No, you, good Lord. Or you, you know, like video games, or you're just on your phone a heck of a lot, right? It's like, what are you doing? You're distracting yourself. You're distracting yourself from what's really happening. But this, what's really happening is meant to be dealt with. It's not meant to torture you. It's not meant to torture you. Any trial that you're facing in your life is meant to bring you to the feet of Jesus so that you can get resolve. It's so that you can get healing. It's so that you can get breakthrough. It's so that you can access something in the heavenly. God is not trying to torture you. He is not trying to just torture you with no answer and no resolution. He's trying to get you to access a level of breakthrough. And I feel like a lot of us just feel like we're not able. We're not capable. I'm fully convinced of this. I think that the enemy is less concerned even about attacking us with like really intense like trials and things. All he has to do is distract us. That's all he has to do, guys. Because if you're distracted, you're not going to do anything or benefit anybody. You're not going to move heaven for sure. You're not going to benefit anybody else's life. When somebody else comes in with the trial, you're not going to know what to do with it, right? You're going to be like Elkanah and be like, why are you crying? Why don't you just look at all the good things in your life? You know, rather than actually dealing with somebody's, you know, if you can get breakthrough for yourself, then you're going to know how to get breakthrough for somebody else. And people are going to be able to come to you and you're going to be like, you know what? I remember dealing with that. You're going to know what to do. God wants you to be able to get before God and get breakthrough, to get breakthrough, to get healing, to get deliverance. And you know that Hannah was desperate because in her prayer, her whole prayer shift, at first it was like, God, give me a son. God, give me a son. I mean, her whole life was marked by lack. It was marked by, you know, having a black mark. It was marked by, anger and resentment and all those things. And the thing that she thought would fix it all, the thing that she thought would heal her, she offered back to the Lord. She thought, if I could just get a son, that'll fix everything. I won't have to deal with this shame, right? I'll know that I can do. I won't have to deal with being a disappointment to my husband. I won't have to deal with Penina messing with me. She thought that would fix it all. And in that moment of desperation, she offered that back to the Lord. And that was her breakthrough moment. There was a shift that took place in her heart. And when you get in a place of desperation, I mean, nothing is off limits. When you get truly desperate, when you live a life of desperation before the Lord, nothing is off limits to Jesus. You're like, you have access to me 24/7. Anything that I think is going to bring me happiness, anything that I think is going to answer the longing of my heart, and there will be some things, because the thing is, spoiler alert, he did give it to her. He did answer her prayer and give her, but even before he gave her the answer to her prayer, he resolved an issue in her heart, right? Even before he answered her prayer, it was in the place of desperation that a shift took place in her, a mindset shift took place in her where she, you know, before she thought, there's nothing I have if I don't get a son, she realized that actually there's something that I can give to the Lord, and she was healed in that moment. She was totally remade and renamed in that moment. In the place of her desperation, a shift, a whole identity shift happened in her, right? Before she was marked by being kidless, right? And by being barren. In that moment, a whole shift took place. And now she doesn't identify with being barren anymore. Now she identified with someone who had something to offer the Lord. It was in the place of her desperate prayer that the shift took place, that the healing took place, even before the answer to her prayer came. Our need brings us to God. Your need is designed to bring you to the Lord. It's designed to bring you to the Lord. And it's funny because I look back on Jesus. Who did he love to hang out with? People who really, really needed him. Who did he not like to hang out with? People who were like, I got it. I got it. I don't need it. Jesus really likes to hang out with people who know their need for him. If you want to know who Jesus wants to hang out with, it's people who know that they need him. Those are the people that he wants to kick it with. Right? It's like the ones that he wants to be with are the ones that know that they know. That's why he hung out with sinners. God is not afraid of your sin. God is not intimidated by your sin. He is not over here like, oh my gosh, she will just not stop doing that. This is so irritating. She thinks she can just come to me in prayer when she keeps dealing with that. No, what he sees is, man, she needs me. And I like that. I like the one who will give me glory, because there's a humility of you. I'll tell you what, any power or goodness or anything I've ever been able to access, it was preceded by a moment of need and weakness at the feet of Jesus. I am not cool. There's nothing in me that's like, I'm so good. Even before I came up here, I was like, Jesus, help, right? It's like anything I do, I'm like, I'm going to really need you for this. Right? Anything good that I do, I'm going to really, really need you, Lord, because I suck at everything. I mess up everything if I'm left to myself. You know what I mean? But if the Lord, if I can access, if I can get in a posture of, God, I need you so bad. Jesus, I need you to come upon me, Lord. I need your word to go forth. I need your anointing that breaks yokes. I need your favor. I need your breakthrough. I need it to be you. I need it to be you. It can't ever be me. It can't ever be me. I don't ever want it to be me. God forbid if it's me. God forbid if it's my effort. Ugh. Right? It's like, that would be terrible. You don't want that. I don't want that. My kids don't want that. Right? My kids have seen mommy. They've seen me. And they're like, it's true. You need the Lord. It's true. You need Jesus. And we want Jesus. So if you could just get in back in your room and start praying again and then get him and then come back out here. Right? It's like, the kids know. I'll tell them every morning. I'm like, you know, the other day I came downstairs and I was like, because Zay woke up. Help me, Lord. He had like busted his lip on the crib. And this kid has given me a run for my money. He's been through health issues too. And I'm like, I can never rest while you're awake. Even when you're sleeping, he actually had, oh good Lord, he had a seizure here at work. It was like a few weeks ago. And he had this seizure. And he just, it was while he was sleeping, he woke up in season. We're all running around and we start praying. It was like the most terrifying moment of my life. And I'm just like, Lord Jesus, I need your peace really bad, you know? Because it's like, if I'm just led by fear, like if I just let my fear, right? If I just am afraid and I take out my fear, you know, it's like if I do things out of fear, I'm gonna sow fear in everything I do, right? But it's like, I need the peace of God. And even in that moment, I was so grateful because the Lord had given me a calm and he had given me a peace in that moment where he can't breathe. And I'm just like, you know, and I'm having that moment, I'm praying, and I'm like, life over this body in the name of Jesus, life over this body in the name of Jesus. And he came and I was like, I knew, I was like, he's going to be okay. I knew it. I was like, he's going to be okay. The Lord will show up for you when you need him the most. He will show up for you and you will be astounded by the peace that you have. You will be astounded by the joy that you have. You will be astounded at what you are able to deal with when the Lord is involved. And it all starts with a need before him. It all starts with desperation before him. That's where it starts. There is nothing like a broken spirit before the Lord. There is nothing like a broken and contrite heart before the Lord. He will respond to you. He will show up for you. He's so faithful. And the thing is that if Hannah never felt her grief, she would have never accessed her breakthrough. If she would have never felt it, right? If she would have never actually gotten to the place where she's like, I'm overwhelmed. I'm in deep anguish. I'm in deep bitterness, and she never felt it. She would have never been led to get her breakthrough. We have to allow ourselves to feel things. I've become so much more comfortable with emotions. I'm so not phased anymore. Somebody could be like losing it. Johnny could like sit on the bubble button, you know what I mean? And I'll be like, everything's fine. He's freaking out, but I'm totally chill, right? No, it's like, I'm so comfortable with emotion now than I used to be. And even my own emotion, right? It's like, there's something to, because I know that I'm going to be okay, right? It's like when you get to the place where you're like, emotions are one thing. I'm not terrified of my emotions. I'm not terrified of your emotions. But you know that if you can just get them before the Lord, that'll get resolved and you're gonna be okay. You don't have to fear feeling things. I feel like that's a word for somebody in this room. You don't have to be afraid of your emotions. You don't have to be afraid of that thing. It's not going to take you out. Come on. It's not going to take you out. It's meant to drive you to the Lord. It's meant to be a driving force to access desperation. We just have to quit numbing ourselves. We have to quit numbing our emotions and our feelings. They're good. They're good. They're meant to get you to a place. They're meant to get you to a place. And it's a good place. And you know, I think about how Eli thought she was drunk, right? That's how cute it was. She was pouring out her heart before the Lord. And he thought she was drunk. But this tells me one thing. Passionate prayers are not cute. They're just not cute. If you're holding on to trying to be pretty, and trying to be acceptable and trying to be cute and appropriate and articulate. And if you're trying to hold on to that, it's like you're going to probably stay where you are. But if you can let go of all of that and just get your ugly self before the Lord and pray the ugly prayer. Ugly prayers are effective prayers. Write that down. No. Write that down. Ugly prayers are effective prayers. No, it's just, if you can, I'm just so not concerned and interested in pretty anymore. I don't want to be pretty. I want to be powerful. Come on. I want to be powerful. I don't want to be cute anymore. If I can get up here, if I can preach to the youth, if I can pray over a youth, I better have some power behind it. I better be able to do something for that person. I don't want to lay hands and be ineffective. I don't want to preach and be ineffective. I want to have power when I preach. I want to have power when I pray. I want to have power when I love somebody, when I do something. I want to move in power, which means I need to let go of what I look like and what people think, and if it's going to be acceptable, and how people are going to feel about it. It's like, I need breakthrough more than I need to please you. I need breakthrough more than I need to be acceptable to anybody. I need breakthrough. We need to get to the place as a church where every Sunday we're coming in here and we're like, you know what we're going after breakthrough. Because I'm not the only person in the room who needs it. Somebody else in this room needs it, right? We need breakthrough. I tell youth on Wednesday nights, I told the worship team, these guys, man, they just bless them. But I told them, I said, I don't want to soak in the Spirit until I've had breakthrough. So when we get into worship, I want to go hard. I want to praise hard. I want to shout to the Lord. I want to move heaven. And after breakthrough happens, then, oh God, you're so good. Oh Jesus, you're so good. And then he just rains blessing, and you just sit there. But I'm like, until I've had breakthrough, when I come in with praise. I come in with shouting. I come in, you know, especially if I feel like the enemy's been messing with me that week, right? If I feel like I've been under an attack that week, I'm like, you better believe those are the Sundays I come in, and I'm louder than any other day. I'm like, he's going to regret messing with me this week, because I'm going to shout the roof off today and I'm going to praise the Lord today. And he's going to hear my cry today. I'm going to get breakthrough today, right? It's like, that's how the Lord wants if you're ever feeling like attacked with trials or whatever, he's like, I don't want that to silence you. I want it to fuel you. Do you understand? I want it to fuel your praise. I want it to fuel your prayer. I want it to fuel the passion in you. I don't want it to take you out. I want it to fuel you forward to go after something that's worth getting. You can do it. You can do it. All you have to do is make a decision and say, you know what? I took a couple hits this week and I'm facing some disappointment this week and I'm even feeling angry at God, but you know what? I'm going to shout today because I need to get this out. I need to praise God. I need to worship God. I need to get breakthrough today. I need him to hear me. You guys remember blind Bartimaeus? I love that guy. He's so cool. Yeah, whoa. My husband's like, whoa, simmer down. It's a good story, babe. Calm down. Because he cries out to the Lord, right? Jesus is coming by, and he knows that Jesus is coming by. He hears that Jesus is coming by. And so something in him starts to cry out to Jesus because he's aware of his need. And he's like so desperate for Jesus. So he's crying out to Jesus. And everybody else, good people, disciples, tried to silence him. Good people were like, settle down. Don't make a scene. You're doing too much, right? And what did that do? It made him cry out louder. God wants trial to fuel your cry. He wants the pain to fuel your cry. And I think sometimes we're like, God, just take it away. We are so done. God, how many people are you done with trials? I'm so done. So done. So done. Right? And Hannah's like, I'm so done. I mean, it was just getting piled on. But the thing was, is that she took her little cry. And it became a desperate cry. It became a cry out of just when she thought she couldn't cry out anymore, Do you ever feel that way? You're like, I don't think I can cry anymore about this. I've given up. I don't think I can dig down deeper anymore, right? But just when she thought that she couldn't get any more, she went, there was somewhere deeper. That there was another level that God was trying to access. Can I tell you something? There is another level of your soul that God is after. He is after another level in your soul. There's something inside of you that God is after. And if you want to know why the hits keep coming, and you want to know what, God, why would you continue to allow this? Why do I keep going through this? Because there's still more. There's more. There's more that I'm after. There is more that I'm after. And I want to make you so effective. And I want to make you so powerful. And I want to make you strong. Some people in here are like, I just want to be strong. How do you get strong? I'm going to tell you the secret to being strong. Are you ready for it? It's being weak. The secret to being strong is being weak before the Lord. That's how you access strength. That's it. That's how. It's getting before Jesus and getting weak before him and saying, God, I need to access your strength. Any moment of strength I've ever had has only been because I got before him and I was so weak and desperate for him to come. I'm telling you, if you want to be strong, it's getting weak before the Lord. The band can come on up. You know, sometimes I think that, at least I know I've dealt with this. Lord, what is the right way to pray? What is the right way to address you, right? To come before you. What sort of posture should I be in? What kind of words should I use, right? How should I be? And there's times that, see, when you're desperate, there's so many weird things that are going to come up out of you. You're going to say so many weird things. Right? It's like every time I come before the Lord, I want to do it right. That's the type of person that I am. I'm like, all right, how I want to do it by the book. I want to follow all the rules. You know, I want to do it right, right? So it's like, okay, what scripture teaches me on prayer? And there are scriptures that teach you how to pray. But then there are other scriptures that show you prayer, that show you what it looks like to get a prayer through. And those types of prayers are so different because it's just getting, it's shouting at God. You know, I've talked to the youth before and I almost felt like, I'm like, should I even teach this? Right? Should I tell them, like, you want to know how to get a prayer through? Just go yell at God. You know what I mean? Like, just go shout him down. Just go yell at him. You know what I mean? It's like, how do you? But it's like, it's blind Bartimaeus. It's shouting out of desperation. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need you to heal me. Jesus, be true to your word, right? Jesus, you said it. I didn't. It was your idea, not mine. Jesus, I need you to show me that your word is true. God, I need you to show me that you meant what you said, that you didn't just come and just say things, but it's true for me. I hear people preaching and I hear them saying, like, this word is for you. It's not just, God, I need you to show me that that's true. I need you to show up for me. I see you show up for them. I saw you show up for Penina. I need you to show up for me. I need you to show up. These are the prayers that are effective. James 5:16 says this, the effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual, fervent prayers. Do you want to know what fervent means? It means full of deep emotion. Matter of fact, I wrote it down. Let me. Intense passion and feeling. That's fervent. I think a lot of people, you know, we try to let ourselves off the hook because we're like, well, that's not really my personality. That's not really my vibe. I'm not very intensely passionate, you know, but it's the effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. I bet you Hannah didn't feel very intensely passionate until she went through a trial. I bet you she didn't feel very intensely passionate until she hit a place of anguish. until she hit a place where I'm so done with this that I don't care anymore what I'm supposed to be or what my personality is or whatever. I'm hungry for breakthrough. It's the fervent prayers that'll get you somewhere. It is the fervent prayers. I'll tell you this much, get used to getting fervent. Get out of your personality or whatever you think that life is supposed to look like or be. God is telling you the effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man are going to availeth much. So if you want to get a prayer through, you better start looking a little bit weird. You better be okay about looking a little different. You better be okay about making a scene sometimes. You better be okay with digging down deep into the bottom of your soul and bringing up something that can only be brought out of a place of desperation. You better get good and comfortable with laying it all out before God and screaming out to God and saying, God, I need you so bad. Jesus, I need you to heal me. I'm so done with the sickness. I'm so done with the anguish. I'm so done with being barren in my soul. Lord, you said you would bless me and I need to see it. God, you said that you would come through and I need to see it. Jesus, you said you would move on my behalf and I need to see it. Jesus, you said you would do something. Your word, be true to your word. Be true to your word. You have a blood-bought right to go boldly to God in prayer. You have a blood-bought right to get crazy before God in prayer. You have a blood-bought right to go right before God and say, I need you to see me. I need you to answer me. I need you to see me, Lord. I need you to answer me. I need you to answer my prayer. I need you. You have a blood-bought right to go boldly. God is like, I want to teach you fervent prayer. I feel like God wants to give you fervent prayer. Other prayers are fine. Other types of praying is fine. Bedside prayers are good. I pray in that way every day. But he wants to give you a different kind of prayer. I feel the Lord so strongly say, I want to give my church fervent prayer. I want to give this church fervent prayer. I want this church to be a place of fervent prayer. And I don't want anybody left out. I don't want anybody left out. I don't want it to just be the first couple of rows. I want the back row to be yell. I want the back row to have the fervency that I'm looking for. I want them to have a fervor and an intense passion and a yell and a desperation every time that they get in a room with me. I want them to see that I'm coming by and yell for me to notice them. I want my church to be loud. I want my church to cry out. I want my church to worship me. I want my church's voice to be heard. I want my church to sing and to pray. Cry out. I want my church to come to the place where their voice is heard. were teaching her how to clean and do chores at home, but there was a moment where she was so overwhelmed by it all, and she's still learning. So she was crying, and she felt incapable of what we were asking her to do. And Corey said this little phrase to her. He was like, after we're done here, we're gonna go get some ice cream. And in that moment, her whole perspective shifted. And she said, this is the best day ever. She went from crying because she felt incapable to, this is the best day ever. Nothing changed for her, except she had a word from her father. That was the only thing that changed. And you can look in this story of Hannah where, you know, Eli blesses her. He's like, let it be to you. I bless you. Let your prayer be. And she walked away full of joy. The prayer didn't even get answered yet, but her whole mindset shifted because she knew that she just got a prayer through. She knew that God heard her. She knew that she just broke through. And I feel this so strongly for us today, that there's going to be joy that comes over you in your prayer times. There's going to be joy that hits you after your moment of breakthrough, because you're going to know that God heard you. You're going to know that you accessed his presence. You're going to know that you just broke through to the other side. There's going to be a knowing that comes to you. You're going to get in a place of prayer, and there's going to be a word that you hear from your Father, and it's going to change everything. Even before you see the prayer manifested, even before you see the answer manifested, even before you see it, there's going to be a shift that takes place in your soul, and you're going to have joy in the name of Jesus. I speak joy in the name of Jesus. Come on, he is setting you free. He's setting you free right now from discouragement. He's setting you free right now from barrenness. He's setting you free right now in Jesus' name. Come on, there's a freedom coming over the world. There's a freedom coming over you right now in the name of Jesus. There's a joy coming over you right now in the name of Jesus. There's a joy, and he's loosing it over you. You're going to know you got the breakthrough. There's an answer coming. Emotion. we thank you for breakthrough. Jesus, we thank you that it's an end to a dark season. Jesus, we thank you that it's the end to a dark season, not knowing where to walk or how to walk or how to talk. Jesus, I thank you, Lord God, that you are showing us what to do. God, that you're giving us a word to walk on even now. Jesus, I thank you that you're speaking a word to every mind and heart. Come on, you might be feeling a word come to you right now. You may be feeling something in your spirit like, I think, is that you, God? Is that you? Are you speaking that? You might even be hearing something come to you. Jesus, I thank you that you are speaking and that you're bringing clarity to this place. I thank you that you don't promise bad things over us, but you promise and you declare success. You promise and you declare good. You promise and you declare blessing. You promise and you declare freedom. Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, that you're moving. God, I thank you that you're speaking. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, lay it out before him. I feel like there's prayers coming up in you again. God's like, ask me again. Bring it to me again. Dig a little deeper. 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 Allow me into the deep place. Allow me into the deep place. Allow me into the deeper place. Allow me. Give me access to your heart. Come on, get your heart before my heart. You don't need to have all the right words. You don't need to have it all together.
Released in your thoughts. I'm unlocking light to be released in your mind. I am unlocking a light in Jesus' name that is going to come into your thoughts. It's going to influence you. It's going to guide you. It's going to direct you forward. Thank you, Jesus, that light is breaking through darkness. In the name of Jesus, I pray light that's piercing the darkness. That I pray light that is piercing. Come on, if you've been having darkness in your mind, there is light the darkness in Jesus' name. There is light that is piercing the darkness in Jesus' name. Your portion is not the darkness. Your portion is not the darkness. Your portion is the light of life that has come in Jesus' name. Your portion is the light of life that's coming upon every mind in this place, coming upon like somebody needs to lay hands on you, come on up here. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Busting through fear. Jesus, that you're breaking through the fear today. You are breaking through the anxiety today. That's not our portion. Come on, say, that's not my portion. That's not my portion. That's not my portion. Jesus, you are breaking through. Fear does not have a hold on me anymore. Fear, you have been evicted from this place once and for all. Fear, you do not. Sometimes you got to talk directly to the thing to get it to move. Come on, to speak directly to the thing. Fear, you have no place. Anxiety, you have no place. Anxiety, you've got to go. Come on, if there's a spirit of suicide in this place, it needs to leave. If there is a spirit of anxiety, it's got to go. It's got to go. Fear needs to go. Darkness needs to go. sense that you're healing brokenness today. I feel this so strongly that God's like, you might need to talk right to the thing that's harassing you. You might need to just tell it, not today. You might need to tell that thing to move. You might need to say, in Jesus' name, be moved. There's an authority coming on you, a fresh authority for your season, an authority for your call, an authority for your family, an authority for what God's called you to do. It's coming upon you by the grace of God today. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Come on, we're gonna be up here for just a little bit longer. If you need prayer, come on up. We've got pastors and leaders who will pray for you, but it's a new year. I'm believing God for good, the best things for this year for you. Amen. Amen.